Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yesterday we completed the chapter on i'tikaf, and we mentioned the meaning of i'tikaf and what it has and what is the objective of i'tikaf. Although outwardly i'tikaf seems as though one is sitting to try and acquire the Mubarak night of Laylatul Qadr, but bigger picture than that, the greater picture than that, is ultimately a person is trying to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's trying to get the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a person's object in this dunya, is that how he can get that qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that one day eventually when he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he meets Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition that Allah is happy with him. That is, Allah is happy with him. This person did everything to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we start another book, another chapter, Kitabul Hajj, the book on Hajj. Now this Hajj itself, what does it mean? Hajj in Urdu, it means qasd karna, to intend. But specifically in Shariat, it means to intend a person visiting the Kaaba Sharif for the fulfillment of specific actions, fulfilling of the specific words Hajj. So not just to intend, but intend to go to the Baytullah and to fulfill the specific actions of Hajj. In the days of Hajj, this is known as Hajj. So now ulama explained that this Hajj is such a great thing. This is an expression of love, where a person is expressing his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he's leaving everything behind. He's leaving his properties, he's leaving his luxuries, he's leaving his wealth, he's leaving his family, he's leaving everything, and he's only presenting himself with two pieces of cloth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes in a disheveled condition, in a tired condition, in a condition that he is not clad properly. Sometimes he's not getting proper food, he's not staying in a proper place, but this is just an expression of love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I've left everything to present myself in front of you. So this is a height of expression of love by the beloved to the lover, and the lover to the beloved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is my love that I have for you. Another similarity ulama bring about between Hajj and death. When a person passes away, then he leaves all the people behind and he goes. He leaves his family. People are crying. People are sad. So like that, when a person is going for Hajj, often you'll find that he's meeting people at the airport. Sometimes he meets his wife, he meets his children, he meets his grandchildren. So this is a sad occasion that he's leaving everybody and he's proceeding. It's reminding him that one day will come when he will have to leave everybody and he has to proceed. But the only difference is when that day comes, he won't be returning. But here when he's going for Hajj, there's still a great chance that he will return, inshallah. So that is reminding him that one day is coming, that he will have to leave everybody for good and home. Another similarity between Hajj and a person passing away is when a person passes away, he'll be clad in that kafan. He'll be covered in those white pieces of cloth. So here when he's proceeding for Hajj and he's on Hajj, he's covered with that ihram. So that ihram now is those white pieces of cloth that is covering his body, reminding him of the day when he will be wearing that kafan. There, a great similarity is then he leaves behind his wealth, he leaves behind his friends, he leaves behind his occupation, he leaves behind his musallis, he leaves behind his masjid. So he leaves behind so many things, reminding him that one day is coming, he'll have to leave every single thing behind and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Hajj ultimately is a real expression of love. So this thing is, we should always keep in our mind, in our heart, that how we can express our love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you'll get two types of people. One is that person that can make it for the journey of Hajj, and one is that person that can't make it for the journey of Hajj. That person can make it for the journey of Hajj, by all means he expresses his gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he proceeds. But in deen, there is no loss. The person that can't make it for the journey of Hajj, in his heart he's got that niyat also, that Allah, if I had that opportunity, if I had that health, if I had that means, I would have also gone for this journey of Hajj. Allah Pak would also reward that person for Hajj. So he doesn't lose out. He can't go for whatever reason, but in his heart he has that niyat. And if I had that opportunity, I had that means, I would have gone. I don't have it, oh Allah. Allah Pak will reward that person also. So there is no loss for a person that can't make it. He shouldn't feel that I'm being deprived. I'm being deprived by Islam. Islam doesn't deprive any person. Just by having that desire in the heart, a person is being rewarded. Another thing to remember as far as Hajj is concerned, is that Hajj had become farz in the 9th year after Hijrah. 9th AH, he became Faraz. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba only went for Hajj in the 10th year after Hijrah. Ulama explained there was great hikmat in this. In the 9th year, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu that you proceed and you go and you inform the people that next year Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be coming for Hajj with the Sahaba. So next year, there should be no mushrik that is performing Hajj, and there should be no person that should come for Hajj naked. Those people in those days, in the time of Jahiliyyat, they would perform this Hajj, is something that is continuing from the time of Adam a.s. Continuing every year from the time of Adam a.s. But in the days of Jahiliyyat, the mushriks would come, and they had their own ways of performing Hajj, of doing Hajj, their own rituals, and they would even come to such an extent that they would perform Hajj naked. Not even with the ihram cloths, they would perform Hajj naked. So here Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had come to explain and announce that next year Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. And the following year, because the announcement already went to the different people that were present in the 9th year after Hijrah for that Hajj, they already knew that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming. The following year so many people came. The exact number is not known, but it is stated in the Kitab, over 90,000 people were present for Hajj from the different towns, from different cities, from the different parts of the Arabian Peninsula. So many people came for Hajj with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine what that Hajj must have been? The Hajj with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them moving in one direction. And everyone, as Anas radiallahu anhu says, that everyone's gaze was looking to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to see what he was doing. And then he said, I looked in front of me, and as far as my eyes could see, I seen people in Hajj. I looked behind me, and as far as my eyes could see, I could see people present. I looked to my right, and as far as my eyes could see, I saw people present. I looked to my left, and as far as my eyes could see, I seen people present. What a Mubarak gathering of people that had gathered for Hajj. So this is just a little bit of outline as far as this Hajj is concerned. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi brings the ayat of the Quran. قال الله تعالى ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا. Hajj is something that is so beloved, and it's such an expression of love that when Allah Pak had made Hajj for us, this ayat was revealed in a very unique way. Allah starts this ayat of the Quran, Walillah. Now, not like the other commands that had come, that perform salat, give zakat, aqimus salat, atu zakat, that Allah Pak is giving a direct instruction. But when it came to Hajj, Allah Pak says, Walillah. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ upon mankind, حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا is this Hajj of the Baytullah. مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا whoever is able to find a way there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ and whoever rejects, then surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent of the entire universe. So Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is meant by a person who is able to find the way there? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is meant by a person who has the means to go there? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Azad wa Rahila, that person that has got, Azad literally means tosha. Person has got, like what we say in our language, pat course. He's got enough means for the road, and he's got a conveyance to get there, to perform the necessary rites of Hajj, then for that person it becomes necessary for him to go perform the Faraz Hajj. Now, ulama explained that over and above this, it also means that the person has got enough funds, enough money to leave behind for his family. He's got enough funds for the road. A person is not owing people money. A person is not in a situation where he will unduly burden other people. He may be very sick and he can't make it. Now, unnecessarily he'll be burdening. So he's got that health, he's got that transport, he's got the means, he's got the ability, whatever is required for this person to go there, he's got that. Now this Hajj becomes faraz on this person. And unnecessarily now to delay that Hajj, this is not something that is encouraged, it's not something that is acceptable. When a person has got the means to go for Hajj, and there's no obstacle stopping him, whether from the side of the government, whether it's the side of those authorities that have issued those quotas or issued those visas, he's got no obstruction now for him to go for Hajj, then the person unnecessarily should not delay that Hajj. So this is the beautiful, as we go, we'll see different hadith Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought to show us that the importance of Hajj, the reward for Hajj, and the blessed nature of Hajj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. those that haven't gone for Hajj, may Allah Pak make it easy for them to go for Hajj. And those that have gone for Hajj, may Allah Pak give us also the tawfiq of going regularly for Hajj. One hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that person who performs Hajj, this person will never become destitute. Person who performs Hajj, he will never become destitute. So in other words, in our mind we're thinking that the person is spending on Hajj, so perhaps he will become poor. It doesn't happen like that. When a person spends on Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases this person's barakat. Allah Pak increases his rozi. It works opposite to our thinking. Obviously there shouldn't be an extravagance and there shouldn't be wasted without that. But the person is spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak will definitely replace him. Allah Pak give us the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.